Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So today you had the president and the first lady going to, and I hate to say they were paying their respects. They made a little FaceTime at the Supreme Court where Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg lies in repose. And the crowd outside, very loud chants of vote him out and honor her wish. And you know, I gotta be honest, I don't know why he was there. It doesn't make any sense to me. He hasn't bothered in any of the other moments other than I think this is just to inflame. Anyway, just my thoughts. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on, like we've been talking about with the Supreme Court, what's going to happen to healthcare? If he seats the sixth corporatist justice on the court, is it the end of the ACA? And then what does healthcare in this country look like? That's why I've asked Colin Seeberger to come talk with us. He's the director of media relations there at the Center for American Progress, AmericanProgress.org, their website. Colin, thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Rick.
So, you know, did you see this moment where the president and the first lady showed up only to be booed and chanted away?
I did. It was one for the ages, and one after the last 4 years, I could have watched for another 4 years.
Yeah, it's one of those. This is one of those moments you knew where you were, and you'll remember where you were, because as I tweeted out, minutes after she passed, this is the end of the 20th century. It's the end of the New Deal. It's the end of all of the progress that people fought, bled, and died for. The end of the labor movement, the civil rights movement, the women's movement. For me, it could possibly be all of that.
Yeah, I mean, what we're talking about here is, the possibility of, if Trump gets another justice on the court, that a majority of the justices on the court will have been appointed by presidents who didn't even win the popular vote. If this is supposed to be a democracy that represents people, our court should reflect the views of the majority of people in this country. And that's why, that's why we've seen such resounding opposition to President Trump and Mitch McConnell and Senate Republicans attempting to rush through, another Supreme Court justice right before the election, before the American people are able to have their voices heard, which obviously, I'm sure stands in stark contrast to the position that they took in 2016. We're seeing this at the same time they've, Senate Republicans have done nothing over the last 5 months on COVID relief. The House passed a really substantial package that would have helped keep this economy going, helped people stay in their homes, make sure that kids could be fed, childcare centers could keep operating. But Senate Republicans didn't do anything. They went on vacation. And now, after not doing anything on COVID, now they're trying to rush through a Supreme Court justice as if that's the most important thing in America.
And just in time to hear that case that's going to repeal the Affordable Care Act. And I'm sure you saw today the Make America, what the hell, the health care plan? America First Health Care Plan is what he's calling it. I got the MAGA thing in my head right now.
It was straight out of the Twilight Zone. I mean, this is the same guy who's, been engaged in health care arson for the past 4 years. From his very first day in office, he has been moving the levers of government to destroy the Affordable Care Act, to take away protections from, 130 million people with pre-existing conditions who, before the Affordable Care Act, the law that actually protects them, could have been charged more, denied coverage from insurers. And he wants to take all that away. If President Trump's lawsuit that, like you said, is going to be heard a week after the election, if that is successful, more than 20 million people are going to lose their health care. Medicaid expansion, gone. Millions of young people who've been able to stay on a parent's plan, gone. Women who've been able to have access to maternity care and no-cost birth control, gone. This is really what the fight is all about, and this is why you know, Senate Republicans are sprinting so fast toward trying to confirm a justice, you know, in record speed, it's because they want that justice on the court for hearing that case the week after the election. And why are they doing this case? You know, it's really important to kind of understand why it is that they're pushing for healthcare repeal. Because, I mean, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Like, could you think of something more stupid than trying to take healthcare away from 20 million people?
Yeah.
But there's a reason why they're doing it. It's because the wealthiest, you know, the wealthiest Americans, people who are funding their campaigns, you know, stand to get, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in tax cuts if the Affordable Care Act is ultimately end up repealed.
And that's the part that nobody ever talks about. You know, I get a bunch of my Trump supporting friends telling me, well, you know, it's an unfunded mandate and I shouldn't have to do anything. You can't tell me, you know, very petulant, very childish. And, you know, they go, well, you know, he repealed the tax part of it, so it's got to go, which is their only argument, other than saying, look, as a country, we need to protect the general welfare. We need to make sure people have access to care, and you need access to care. But I look at today's whatever dog and pony show that was. It's not going to get us what we need. And the fact that he came out with an executive order today saying that the government is going to protect pre-existing conditions. Well, the government's already protecting pre-existing conditions. And we wouldn't need your executive order if you just stop pursuing this lawsuit.
Well, it's all a distraction. Let's be very clear.
Correct.
That, you know, he's doing this because he wants to, you know, project that he's the healthcare president. He's the healthcare champion. You know, Mr. President, that's ridiculous. Barack Obama is the first president in, you know, more than half a century to be able to expand health coverage to tens of millions of Americans. And you, sir, are trying to do the exact opposite. And that's why we've seen, you know, millions of more people are uninsured today than when Donald Trump assumed the White House.
Right.
And we know that that's only compounded by the pandemic. So that, you know, multiple million people who, you know, are no longer insured, you know, that was before the pandemic. Add on a, you know, fundamentally mismanaged response to this crisis that has, you know, cost tens of millions of people to have to sign up for, you know, unemployment because they lost their jobs by no fault of their own. You know, the number of people who don't have health insurance today is probably a lot higher than that. But they do have a lifeline because of the Affordable Care Act. And what he wants to do is pull the rug out right from underneath them.
Yeah. And while I've said before, I think the ACA needs to be strengthened much more. I think that some of the plans aren't very good. There's a lot of criticism that I do have. But the thing that you have to give it credit for is it's there. It's that little bit of a safety net that we have. And we should, over the last 10 years, have been working to strengthen it, much like we did with Medicare. At the beginning, Medicare wasn't all that great. But people got a hold of it, said, hey, let's make this better. And they did. The one thing Republicans have been very good at, and you have to, I guess, give them credit on a certain level, is denying their constituents access to better care.
Yeah, I mean, let's think about this a little bit more. I mean, are there steps that we need to take to, you know, make health coverage more affordable and accessible? Absolutely. But, you know, President Trump's lawsuit to repeal healthcare, it would take steps in the reverse. You know, the ACA closed the Medicare Part D prescription drug loophole that, you know, saves seniors hundreds and hundreds of dollars every single year. He wants to get rid of that. That's part of this ACA lawsuit.
Right.
You know, Joe Biden, on the other hand, you know, has put out some ideas that would, you know, spur some greater competition to help drive down prices. Do things like, you know, have a public option competing with private insurance. You know, increase the amount of tax credits that people are able to get to buy, you know, lower cost health insurance that, you know, that includes things like lower deductibles, lower copays, things like that. You know, the president, what he's talking about is, you know, all a charade. You know, if you want to talk about things that you know, will actually lower the cost of care. The one thing that President Trump promised in 2016 that would actually do that was negotiating the cost of prescription drugs, you know, having Medicare negotiate.
Right.
And then as president, he promised to veto the only bill that passed the chamber of Congress that would actually do that. You know, he's broken his promises left and right, and it's the American people who are holding the bag.
But he did offer a $200 gift card today to seniors. I'm not sure where he's going to get the
again,
money, but a $200 gift card, that could go a long way.
Again, though, because, again, it's all about distraction. You know, we got to be focused here. You know, the president is trying to open up the Medicare Part D donut hole again, and he would much rather people talk about a $200, you know, a $200 buy-off to, you know, a few weeks before the election, because he doesn't want people talking about the permanent change that will happen if his health care repeal lawsuit succeeds in the Supreme Court. And again, you know, that's why they're rushing to install this justice, somebody who's going to rubber stamp his agenda. And again, you know, we got to stay focused here.
No, you're absolutely right. But, you know, there's part of me that goes, maybe we need the pain and the suffering. You know, maybe we need to have bad things happen so we wake up and don't allow this. Now, look, I don't want this to happen. I know millions of people would suffer and people would die, and it's a lot of horrible. But it seems the only time we in this country do the right thing, and, you know, to steal a Winston Churchill quote, Americans always do the right thing after doing everything else first. You know, maybe we need a little bit of this pain, because we only seem to respond positively through pain and suffering.
Well, you know, I will just say, obviously, you know, the passing of Justice Ginsburg was obviously, you know, extremely, extremely somber and sad. But this past week is also, you know, marks 200,000 Americans have been lost to COVID-19, many of them because this government fundamentally mismanaged this crisis from the earliest days, when the president was concealing that he knew it was far more deadly than the flu. And he said, oh, you know, I know how bad it is. I know how it spreads, but I'm not going to tell people. And I think the American people are having that moment right now. I think they know how important it is in the middle of a pandemic to have access to health insurance, to not be turning your health and financial security back over to the insurance companies so that they can call the shots, which is what his lawsuit would do. I think that the American people are having their wake-up moment right now, and I think in 40 days, they're going to send a resounding message to everybody in Washington, but especially President Trump and his enablers who've been pushing for health care repeal.
No, and I hope we send a message to the world that we're, you know, we're not the country we've been for the last 4 years. Because I don't know if you saw the Fiona Hill statement the other day, that we're basically the laughingstock of the world. They, you know, they can't believe we're ripping each other apart from the insides the way we are. And at some point, I'm, you know, and this is where my great hope for Biden is that he's the guy who can bring us somewhere back to the middle of the street and get us off the sidewalks throwing arrows at each other.
Yeah, I mean, we have, you know, we have some really daunting challenges ahead of us. You know, very similar to, you know, when Vice President Biden and former President Obama took office and, you know, we were losing nearly a million jobs a month. And Joe Biden and Barack Obama brought us back from the brink of what was at that time the worst recession since the Great Depression. And, you know, Joe Biden was the one who was tasked with overseeing that recovery. And, you know, the recovery that we have to claw our way back from this healthcare and economic crises is going to be quite profound. We're going to need somebody who's tested. We're going to need somebody who's focused on, you know, focused on the issues, not focused on himself. And, you know, Joe Biden's record of public service is, absolutely a testament to somebody who's focused on getting things done and, you know, staying focused on the pocketbook issues that matter to people.
Yeah, you know, in this moment, we need, as a country, we need to find a direction. And hopefully, you know, as we've been saying, you know, on November 3rd, people go to the polls and elect Joe Biden and a Democratic Senate and House. So that we can all be moving in one direction and have policies that are going to move us in that direction and, you know, get a stimulus bill pushed through and get an infrastructure bill that we desperately need pushed through. But also make sure that we take care of this virus and do the things that need to be done.
Yep, we can't have a recovery if we don't rein in this virus. And you know, as more and more months pass, more and more Americans are, you know, happy to say goodbye to their family members. You know, I think the scale of, you know, the scale of the pain and the gravity of the pain is just, it's really resonating and hitting home with people. And, you know, it's also, we're seeing the results compound. So, you know, every single day that Mitch McConnell is pushing for, you know, a partisan Supreme Court justice rather than fighting for relief for families who, you know, are experiencing severe economic and health distress, you know, the more businesses that are closing, the more families who, you know, have to have a parent leave the workforce because they need to care for their child, you know, who's doing at-home virtual learning. You know, these are the stakes and, you know, really underscore just how grave a misjustice it has been that, you know, their attention and their focus has been elsewhere.
No, I'm right there with you. Last question real quick. Any chance of stopping this justice that they're going to nominate and ram through? Do you see any way to stop this or is this a done deal?
Oh, you know, the American people have proved Senate Republicans in this president wrong before. You look at, you know, the healthcare repeal fight in 2017, everybody said, you know, there's no way you can stop them. Mitch McConnell is just going to, he's going to twist all their arms.
Going to steamroll right over them.
You're going to steamroll right over them, right?
Yep.
But as more people learned about really what was at stake and what's on the line, more people engaged. They called their members of Congress and their senators. They wrote op-eds in their local newspapers. You know, they contacted their, you know, their doctors and asked them more about what was on the line for them.
Right.
And their insurers were telling them, hey, you know, you're going to have to probably pay more for this benefit, or, you know, you may have an annual or lifetime limit come back if this bill succeeds. You know, this is, you know, this is something that I think people are going to learn more about over the course of the next month.
Right.
And I think that's going to really, really, we're already seeing, you know, the polls are already showing about 60% of the public already says, you know, the person who wins on November 3rd should be able to appoint the next Supreme Court justice. The polls are already 60-40. You educate them about taking away health care from 20 million Americans and protections for pre-existing conditions in the middle of a pandemic.
That's going to go up.
That's a recipe. Yeah, that's a recipe. You know, that's pouring gasoline on a fire.
Good stuff. Colin, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much, man.
Yep, you too. Thanks.
So a quick break, right back, stick around.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.